right out of the box, though, can we officially claim you as one of our own? Are you a Mainer now?
I think I am. I think I'm officially a Mainer. I'm, seven plus years, and seasonally for about 20, over 20. So I don't know if that we know it doesn't make you a true Mainer, but at least, a late coming Mainer, I think.
Absolutely. But was it your wife that had the ties to the state of Maine?
It is. Yeah. She was, pretty much, this is kind of her home base for years. Not always through the winter, but, the family had been here for since, she was born essentially, and, ties even before that, going back. But she claims it completely, as her home. And we were so happy to get here and experience Maine, in a year-round way, which was, has been fantastic. I love being there in the winter, and obviously summer is, hard to beat as well.
Do you find any similarities between Maine and what you experienced growing up in Louisiana and then going to school in Mississippi?
I did, actually. There's funny that the similarities to me are actually, it's all about outdoors. It's about fishing. It's seafood. I mean, the similarities are really funny because I remember buying shrimp from guys in big rubber boots, down there that had maybe more Cajun or just like really raw Louisiana accents, and I had deja vu all the time about that with my experiences in Maine. So more similarities than differences in a way. I mean, obviously climate, but there's a certain really interesting individual ism to the people as well.
Well, of course, those Cajuns were originally Acadians up here in the Northeast who made their way down to Louisiana. And my producer is a Maine guy, but he moved down to New Orleans a couple of years ago and still produces our show from down there.
Wow, is that right? That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand. I knew a lot of people when I was living in the quarter the last two or three years who would, there were writers that would, head up to the Fox Islands, generally. And I was like, that sounds pretty great, So it's like 100% humidity right now. And so I hope he can get up in the summer a little bit every now and again.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about what you've got going on this summer. Sonic Sleepover 25 coming up on October 4th. Is this the third year of this event?
It is. And we generally have it. We sort of have it in different times every year, regardless, basically based on my touring schedule. And, it's been quite a cool event. It's kind of inspired by, I remember with Autumn Defense playing some shows that were promoted out in Big Sur by a guy named Britt Gavia, who does a thing called Folk Yeah, and he promotes in San Francisco, but he started having shows in Big Sur, a place called the Fernwood Campground, and also at the Henry Miller Library, and it was just, I mean, music outside in the right environment it takes the experience of live music, which is amazing, in itself, and it just amplifies it to this like incredible degree, and it sort of encompasses everything I love: the outdoors and live music. My wife and I had bought this old boys camp a little bit before the pandemic, and you know, events, it was always in the back of our minds in terms of, wow, this would be a wonderful place for music. So yeah, we have, this is the third year for us, and it's generally been based around my touring schedule. This year we're doing it more in the early fall. And, that October 4th weekend is kind of that last sort of, I don't know, maybe not the last great weekend, but you know, generally it's a good time to have it. So we're going to try it this year, that, the lake will be warm enough. And, so we're hoping some people will swim and have an early fall edition of this.
Well, I always say the best 2 months in Maine are September and October. So I think you're right in the sweet spot. And when you're talking about the music and food and sitting around a campfire, I don't know that you could have a better time of year than that in Maine. And boy, you got a great lineup. Can you talk about some of the performers who we'll get to see this year?
Sure. The band that me and Patrick Sansone from Wilco have had since 1999, basically, it's called the Autumn Defense. We put out five records over the years, sort of in between Wilco records. We had met in New Orleans in the 90s and sort of bonded over this sort of Anglo folk in a town that was not really known for that, I would say. So we sort of found each other and put out a record in 2000 that was sort of all my material, called The Green Hour. And I brought Pat in to write as well, and so we've been a songwriting, you know, team really since then. And it's kind of, the stuff is definitely more like close harmony, kind of evokes like, sort of, you know, late 60s, early 70s, Southern California.
Well, and I tell you, I listened to the single from your upcoming new album that's coming out in October. And, but first of all, it's a great song. To me, it feels, and I say this as the highest compliment because I'm such a big fan of his work, but it's very, to me, very Harry Nilsson-esque.
Oh, love it. Yeah. I mean, Nilsson's kind of a North Star for the band in so many ways. Aerial Ballet, that record is just like huge to both of us. And Patrick was also joined Wilco. So he's been a creative part of Wilco for 20 years now, along with Nels Klein. So it's great. We have a new record coming out. It's our first record in 10 years coming out in about a week after the Sonic Sleepover. So we'll be debuting some material from that. We have Michaela Davis, who is a wonderful sort of classically trained harpist is in the sort of contemporary kind of rock world, kind of jammy as well, but she has a fantastic band and great voice, and harp, I think, outside in that environment is going to be really amazing. Mm-hmm. So she's wonderful. She played the Wilco Solid Sound Festival last year and killed it. And we also have Glenn Cochi from Wilco, mm-hmm. who is coming over to do he has certain pieces that he's sort of in modern composition, and is quite an accomplished really modern composer. You have to check out his resume, but he does incredible percussion, live percussion pieces, and it's just, well, because we've had Nels Klein from Wilco at previous Sonic Sleepovers, and the music was a little bit more in the sort of leaning forward into the avant-garde and in previous years, where this year it's a little bit folkier and accessible, I would say. But we usually try to mix it up in a good way. But we got Tough Cats, who are a great main band, a band called Speed of Sound that is really kind of shows off his sort of Beatles chops, and Dominic Lavoie, who has a great is a great main songwriter. So it really should be a fun day of music. We got food, we've got food trucks, we've got oysters, and it's a BYOB event, which I have to let people know about. but that sort of makes it a little bit easy for people. But it's an incredible atmosphere, and I think people really love it. The people who've come the last 3 years.
Because you're out on the road right now with Wilco. You guys have been doing this for more than 30 years now. That's incredible for any partnership, but for a musical group, I think even tougher. How much of that ability to stay together is because you and Jeff and everybody involved has also been able to do your own things?
I think it's a big part of it. I think everybody has, you know, various projects. Nels Klein had just a huge discography before he joined the band. So obviously he's really involved in the jazz world. Glenn, as I've said, you know, Mike Jorgensen out in California I think it's really integral to the band's continued creativity. And it's also, you know, aspects of that have brought really improved the kind of culture of the band, especially with the Solid Sound Festival, where we're able to bring a lot of people we know to Western Massachusetts every 2 years and do that festival at Mass Mocha, which is a great small festival. I think it's absolutely integral to the band's continued creativity.
I was reading in an interview that you were a big fan, as I am, of the Zombies' Odyssey and Oracle. I thought I'd let you know I'm talking to Colin Blunstone from my podcast in a few days.
Rich, this is incredible. Yeah, no, this is like, it sounds like we're cut from the same cloth here. Autumn Defense has played with the Zombies. They're definitely top five all-time band for me, and they're still, Rod and Colin, they're still doing Odyssey and Oracle is definitely a top, you know, top five record, and that's fantastic. We're gonna have to chat a little bit more offline about your music taste.
Absolutely. Well, so I want to let people know if they want to check out Sonic Sleepover. I don't want to screw up the name, but I'm going to give it a try once. Odiaqua?
It's actually, it's the crux of having a place that people can't pronounce. It's like, Ataqua.
Ataqua,
is the name,
okay.
Yeah, Ataqua. So the Y is sort of silent. But hard to spell, hard to remember, but it's like, hopefully people will bookmark it and put it on their Google Maps. It's also it's a wonderful place to spend time with people too. If anyone's ever looking for a sort of friend and family getaway, it's a small, it's a great history to the camp. But it was started in 1935 by a family from New Britain, Connecticut, actually, that had land in what was Waldorboro at the time. And they ran it as a really thriving boys camp for 5 years until 1941, onset of World War II. All the camper, everyone got, you know, the counselors got drafted. There were actually U-boat scare off the coast of Maine, and the blackouts and everything were a big part of everything shutting down summer as well. So great history to the place, and it is very much a time capsule. And we have a couple of houseboats there that are also for rent that are amazing. So, check it out. OTYOKWA on Instagram.
And the website, ataquamaine.com. John, it is great to talk with you. Good luck out on the road, and looking forward to Sonic Sleepover 2025.
Rich, thank you so much for your time again, and thanks for fitting me in, and great talking to you.